Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Paranormal Horizons with your host, Pat Rice, from the Super Unknown at 106.5 KITC FM and Jason Ophir from Beyond the Edge of Reality. Join us as we search the dark corners of the unknown.
Welcome to Paranormal Horizons. I am Jason Ophir with NW Paranormal. Our co-host, Pat Rice, was unable to make the show tonight, but we have a guest host. And a few of you out there may know our guest host this evening. He is the infamous Aaron Collins. Aaron Collins has guest hosted for us a few times on Beyond the Edge of Reality, and he's also with NW Paranormal. So welcome, Aaron, and thanks for the help this evening.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you for having me.
Right on. Get a little help up in here. So as always, we want to throw out and let the listeners know that we do have a chat room up, and that can be visited at www.beyondtheedgeofreality.com. And also, we'd like our listeners to check out our Facebook page. That's Paranormal Horizons on Facebook, and please give us a like. We are in desperate need of attention. I'm kind of an attention whore. I hate to use that. But yeah, we need some love on the Facebook and in chat as well. I see that we do have a few people in chat. Now, for tonight's show, I've got to say a little bit of a disclaimer. We have a great guest lined up this evening. His name, he goes by BRN, and that stands for Blood Ritual Monarch. And my disclaimer is he has had some pretty incredible experiences with the paranormal, and some of those even are a bit extreme. Wouldn't you say so, Aaron?
Very extreme. Very intriguing.
Yeah, and so you're probably going to hear some things that might be a little shocking, but we just want to throw out a little disclaimer that tonight's show is going to be pretty exciting, and we're going to hear some pretty amazing things. And maybe some things that some listeners might consider a little disturbing. And I also wanted to say that tonight's segment is not part of our paranormal parody. Blood Ritual Monarch is a real person, and he's going to be Skyping in all the way from New Zealand. So now I'm looking here at the dashboard, and I think he's in queue. And again, this is always weird when this happens. His numbers coming across as all ones. That's kind of creepy. I don't know if that's some sort of astral sign, angelic sign, or whatnot, but I believe that's him. And some of the things that we are going to discuss with BRM tonight are demon summoning. I know he's had some interesting stories about some blackouts that he's had, and also
continues to have,
and also about mind control. I don't know if you all are familiar with Montauk. I think it's a place on the East Coast, and there's always been some controversy over many years about mind control. I'm not an expert on it, but hopefully we'll be able to learn a little bit more about that this evening. And, yeah, so it's going to be a great show, and I think we should get started with our guest. BRM, you are live on Paranormal Horizons. How are you?
Hello, Jason and Aaron. Thanks for having me, and it's great to be here with you, Attention Horse.
We are really excited to have you on, and, you know, I spent a lot of time on your website, and it was like one of those things where I couldn't stop reading. It was so intriguing. I mean, it's like one of these amazing novels that you read, and, you know, I just couldn't stop. I became addicted to it, and I love every time you update it with some new stuff.
Well, I really appreciate that. I would say that writing is definitely one of my skills, but not much else. I'm not much of a craftsman or an expert in any other area, but I can come across pretty well with the written word, and I hope to make a career of that eventually.
Aaron was just telling me how well written your writings are on there, weren't you, Aaron?
I was, actually, before the show. We were talking about your website, and I was intrigued. I mean, just from the first word all the way through, I just kept reading. I'm not done. I'm embarrassed to say I'm not done reading yet, but I will. You're a very intriguing person, and I'm really excited to have you on the show and also to be guest hosting tonight.
Thanks again, guys. Great to be here. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. So I guess we should just get right into it. If you could tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. And, you know, there's so much listed on your website in terms of the experiences that you've had that, you know, I don't really know where to start. I'll kind of leave that up to you. I know that you had some experiences with, I believe, was it a Ouija board where that kind of started the whole thing?
That was part of the beginning. How can I start? In my early 20s, I began studying the paranormal to see what the other side would be like. I was kind of convinced I would die young and wanted to learn the lay of the land on the other side so I'd be familiar with it. Kind of a control freak, so I wanted to know exactly what it was like, you know, in other realities. And what was initially a passing interest became an all-consuming obsession, which then progressed to demon conjuring in literally a matter of weeks. And quite honestly, I can't remember from, you know, one step from Hans Holzer. I was reading his books and then immediately into the satanic section at the bookstore. It was just like a slipstream, just carried me away. And then I constructed a rather elaborate evocation mirror from a conjuring book. It's called The Lesser Key of Solomon or The Goetia. And I basically did summoning rituals obsessively and continuously until it was just too late to turn back, and I did finally get results.
Now, I applaud your courage for the summoning thing. You know, me personally, that's something I don't even want to come within, 100 nautical miles of. For the listeners out there, what sort of rituals are involved, you know, when you're trying to make that connection with these dark forces?
Well, one of the first things I did, it's almost like a recipe from what I recall, because I haven't really messed with any of that stuff in almost 20 years. And even if I see photographs of the book online, I really do get tingles and things start to happen all around me. And demonic energies, depending on how permeable you are, how sensitive you are, if they can't affect you, they're going to affect the people around you, and you have to be really aware and pay close attention to what's occurring, because things can ricochet rather quickly. But as far as the book itself, I basically followed the recipe. I built the mirror, had a lot of help with that because I'm not much of a craftsman. And then the rituals involve incantations. You have to recite things from the book. And quite honestly, I can't recall the specifics around that, but I did the rituals over and over again. Of course, my roommates would laugh at me and thought it was ridiculous. But sure enough, I didn't get any results or any overt results in the beginning, but my thoughts and moods became very negative, distinctly negative. And after about 3 weeks of the rituals, my bed started to shake. And I had to double check a few times to see if that was, you know, my imagination. I'm definitely someone that likes to rule out all possibilities before assuming it's a paranormal, result. Then my room became ice cold. I could see my breath, and this was in the middle of summer. Hands were literally touching me and actually gripping my wrists. I'll never forget that. Then things would crawl across my bed. Little things, almost like a cat would walk across your bed, except that I couldn't see anything. And something I didn't expect, I was stimulated sexually and eventually sexually violated. And I don't know how else to describe it, but each time I orgasmed, things immediately intensified, and whatever was around me had a more of a physical hold on things, and can really affect not only touching me, but things in the room as well. It freaked me out, but it was a rush at the same time. It's hard to describe.
Did you find yourself regretful of doing the summoning once these things all started to happen?
I wasn't much of a person to analyze things at that time. I was all about results. It was my early 20s. And I think you mentioned the Ouija board, which I hadn't touched upon. I used the Ouija board in conjunction with the summoning rituals and brought that to work with me. And I was a night shift security officer at the time, and we would use the board at work because I couldn't do the summoning at work. And really just freaked out my coworkers, as you could imagine. But this stuff just consumed my every waking moment. I just had to have results. But as far as being introspective, I wasn't at the time.
All that stuff, I'm a paranormal investigator on occasion. I don't do it so much anymore, but, I was hosting with Evan Jensen, Beyond the Edge of Reality, and we've talked to a lot of people, a lot of demonologists, and about Ouija boards, and not a whole lot that makes me nervous in the world, but I have to say, delving into the dark side of things is one of the things that makes me a little bit nervous, because I've seen a lot of paranormal things in my life, and it's just something I don't want to mess with, and I never really have, and so I find it intriguing, because with all the shows that I've done on Beyond the Edge of Reality and a few shows I've done here, I've never actually been able to talk to somebody that does this, that has experienced the summoning and has attempted it. So it's intriguing to me to hear that. And especially when I started reading on your website, I was like, whoa, this stuff's crazy.
Yeah, I did get results, and they intensified, Jason, but there was a point where I just wanted to get away from it. And I wanted it to stop, and it was something that I couldn't just switch off, like a light switch. I initially tried to bury my conjuring book and mirror in the golf course near where I grew up. And while I was in the golf course, I was actually, I would call it, accosted by the demonic energies that actually tried to stimulate me sexually, to distract me. And the only analogy I can come up with is in Dracula, when the succubus women would come to Jonathan Harker and try to distract him from escaping Dracula's castle. And that's actually what popped into my head at the time. So I never really completely buried the conjuring mirror or the book. And then a few years went by. I went through a series of Santeria cleansings, and Santeria is a religion. I'm not too versed in it, but I had a friend whose wife was a Santeria priestess, and I went through some cleansings along those lines to get rid of the energies around me. And it worked to a degree, but whatever was there, it seemed to be inhabiting me to the point where I couldn't discern what was my own thoughts and what was me anymore, and it actually morphed into a completely different person, so I couldn't tell who I was. And then I do remember, it was 1999 when the movie Fight Club came out, and after seeing that film, I just became electrified, and right after the movie, I started blacking out. On a consistent basis. And I can definitely remember it was after watching that film, the underlying theme being the multiple personalities, or at least one of the themes. I started to wake up after drinking, getting dirty looks from my ex-wife. What happened last night? At first we kind of joked about it, and that happened again. And then it eventually became me cutting myself. I'd cry, growl, and start hissing. I'd call myself Lucifer and other demonic energies. I'd wake up surrounded by blood. I mean, this took place over a series of years. Several times I woke up with candles lit all around me, or I'd turn the coffee table into an altar of sorts. And I would just wake up and everything was there. And it freaked me out, and I became very depressed because I didn't know how to rectify this, but I needed the release at the same time. So it was a paradox for me.
It sounds incredible. Now, when you're doing these summonings, I'm not familiar with it. Are you summoning a particular entity, or is it like in general? Like, is there any way to know exactly, you know, what's harassing you, like a particular entity or spirit or demon or?
I wouldn't fancy myself having, I mean, some people have told me I do have pronounced psychic abilities, but I don't honestly see it. The Goetia has 72 demons specifically, and I was just doing it, you know, I was doing a hack job. I actually took magic mushrooms one time to try and get more pronounced results, and I was staring at the demon book itself, the sigils in the book, which are basically pictorial calling cards for each demon, and I just took those mushrooms, started to trip out, and then stared at the sigils. My approach then was basically, you know, hammer on dynamite and see what happens. I was that extreme about everything. And but there are specific demons depending on what results you want to get. And there may be some folks listening that have actually done these rituals properly and can say that they've had the correct results or the desired results. But I was a half-assed conjurer. If anything, I really did a poor job of it.
What would you consider a correct result? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you should have a magic circle that protects you from the energies that you're evoking, and of course, the entity shouldn't be entering your body or your auric field in any way. The mirror that I constructed was meant to catch the entities or draw them in, and then you communicate with them, whether it's on a telepathic level or verbally. I'm not quite sure. I never did get to that point, and I think they entered me. And they affected me on a level where I didn't know what my thoughts were and what their thoughts were. But you can do anything from, you know, make someone sick, divine the future. Every demon has a specific function. But I made a big mess of things right away.
You know, when I was in high school for my senior paper, I wanted to write about the Satanic Bible. Why, I don't know. It was just one of those things. I thought it'd be kind of cool. So a friend of mine went with me to the library, and we just kept going every day because the pattern was the Satanic Bible had been stolen from every library in town. So I had to check out books and things like that. And so little did I know at the time, but my friend was checking books out and taking them home, and he was actually doing a lot of, now that it's clear to me that he was doing what you were doing. He called me one night, he would call me late at night, and his voice would be different, and he would just talk, just ramble about just satanic and crazy things. He told me that he performed this one ritual and had a candle in the middle of the bed on a plate, and the flame, it was like a flamethrower going up to the ceiling. So, of course, you know, being a skeptic at the time, I said, yeah, right. So I came over to his house. I brought the candle. I brought the matches, and sure enough, we both sat on the bed, and he read what he read out of the book. The book at the moment, but sure enough, the flame shot straight up to the ceiling. It was enough to knock me back off the bed, and oh my gosh, I was terrified. And a few days later, he had said he had done something similar to that, and you said there's certain demons for certain things, like you want to put a death spell or a sick spell or something on somebody, and he actually did one that was a death spell on his stepmother. And the very next morning, he came to school. He was all shaken up, and I said, what's going on? And his stepmother was rushed to the hospital. She had hemorrhaged. She didn't die, but she hemorrhaged. And then I think that scared him enough to really put it down. And so, and we're talking 20-some-odd years ago, but I remember vividly just him going through all this mess.
So there must be some power in it then.
Oh, absolutely. That's definitely
direct experience, guys. That's something that most, you know, people require to believe, and I don't blame them. Anyone that doesn't believe what I've gone through, I totally understand. I've had people, you know, connect with me on Facebook or email me and just say, this is ridiculous. And I say, that's cool. I mean, this is my experience. I can't definitively prove anything. And it's perfectly fine to be skeptical, and maybe that would keep people away from this kind of stuff.
Hopefully. But, you know, I do like on your website where you have a disclaimer, and you said, I'm not here to convince you. You know, you're just documenting your experiences, and it's left up to us to decide whether we believe or not. And I like that. I like that about you.
Anyone that preaches, guys, I mean, that's a big red flag for me when someone has to preach their dogma or say that this is reality when I mean, what is reality? It's all what we agree upon, but the minutia, I mean, all those little details, that's going to vary from person to person. And you guys mentioned how, you know, basically I did a hack job of it, and I wonder, was this meant to be that I made a mistake and I allowed the entities to access me? While I was blacking out, initially they started out as crying. I mean, this went on for over 10 years. I'd cry for several years on end, and then the growling and the crying would take place almost simultaneously. And then I started finding notes, which was really freaky because that was a wake-up call that there was something inside me. I started finding notes that were scribbled, in this, like, gouging, you know, kind of a just very violent way. And I kept finding the word Montauk and rape, you know, over and over in different combinations and just written with this. I mean, I'd go right through the paper and the pen would break and, you know, the table, it would have gouges in it, you know, with the words. And I did some research and I found out that sexual trauma is required to shatter the psyches of people that are mind controlled. And, you know, with further research, I realized that I had probably demonized myself and that mind control might have been the culprit, whereas the mistakes I made were actually on purpose so that the demons could control me and infiltrate my body.
Wow. So now the Montauk is that's a base, or isn't it like a military base or an Air Force base? Now, I watched the video where you visited it, and it was pretty compelling. It's like some old rusty giant satellite dish. When you did research into that, can you tell the listeners a little bit about that? It's a big conspiracy theory, the whole Montauk mind control. But I'd be curious to know if you could share some history on that subject and then why you feel that you might have been a subject during that project or alleged project.
Absolutely, guys. If I could just start, if some folks aren't familiar with it, just to go into a bit about programming or mind control. It's basically a method of manipulating the thoughts and thought patterns of, you know, a specific person or even a group of people for the purpose of controlling their behavior. In some cases, their entire life trajectory, like my entire life, I feel has been may have been controlled by this stuff. And programming, I guess a good analogy would be it's like computer software that's downloaded into the brain to ensure everything runs properly and doesn't deviate from protocol. That's the only way I can describe it. But mind control itself is the intended result of the programming software, and it basically controls the impulses and behavior of an individual so that they're completely unconscious of what's driving their thoughts and actions, and that's only if the programming works properly. And somewhere along the line with me, I suspect something happened where I actually became conscious of it. Montauk, the Montauk Project, many people have their own opinions on it. Some people definitely say they were there. I can't prove any of it. I only have an obsession with the place and the subject and what was regurgitated from my unconscious. And to me, it's a mind control experiment that, and I say allegedly, took place during the 70s and early 80s on Montauk Point, and that's on the tip of Long Island, New York. Supposedly tens of thousands of unwilling subjects were said to have been programmed there. And I guess the vast majority, 3%, and that's the figure I've heard from someone, actually lived through the programming experiments. And they were actually perfecting a form of electronic mind control and using that big old radar dish as a way to beam out mind control to the mass population. And supposedly all sorts of stuff happened there, time travel. And in particular, sexual energy was experimented with. Sexual energy is amazingly powerful and creates life. So they played with just about everything. And a good way to describe it is a form of high-tech black magic was happening at Montauk, if it even happened. I don't know. Hopefully
you know,
that explains
you talk
a little
about
bit.
Mind control, the thing that comes to mind is like the whole Manchurian candidate, you know, where people are programmed subconsciously to commit assassinations and stuff like that.
That would definitely be an example that's much more in the forefront, I think, because it's something where we can see the result of. For instance, you know, going back for some of the older listeners, Sirhan that killed Bobby Kennedy, supposedly doesn't remember, you know, doing it. And more recently, the guy in Colorado, Aurora, after the Batman movie premiere, which was definitely laced with mind control triggers, he acted very bizarrely in custody. His hair color changed. And these are clues. Nobody can say for sure. But there's quite a bit of you know, data around that to support that something out of the ordinary happened, but who knows.
So do you think these blackouts you were having was kind of your subconscious way of kind of exposing that maybe you were involved in this Montauk project?
I think, Jason, something inside me wanted it to stop, and I think there were warring factions after I had analyzed it that, you know, something wanted me to find out, you know, or to get to the bottom of it, but something else didn't. And I also think that with mind control, if you get too close to the truth, supposedly there are suicide triggers that are laced in. So it's almost like a booby trap. If you get too close to the truth, you might be triggered to get depressed and kill yourself to eliminate any evidence. So I definitely was at war with myself, and it's abated somewhat, but it's always there.
I mean, that's terrifying. If any of that's true, that the government is doing stuff like that, I mean, that it's just so out there and so, I mean, it's terrible that they would go around, you know, programming people. And technology today scares me. Because you're talking about a lot of these secret projects that happened in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, you know, MK Ultra with LSD, mind control. I mean, I could only imagine what kind of technology there is out there now that is affecting people's minds. I'm not a huge on conspiracy theory, but I've heard a lot of crazy stuff having to do with electronic manipulation of the human mind, and, you know, I hope it's not true. I wouldn't put it past the government.
Yeah, I mean, there may be something to it. I definitely believe there's something going on, but, I mean, I can't prove any of it, Jason. But just as a disclaimer, and I can't definitively prove any of this, I always say that. I say it in my blog because as people read, I'm sure they go, oh, give me a break. This is ridiculous. So, but I don't know if anyone or if you've heard of the Illuminati. They're supposedly the 13... ruling families of the planet, names like Rothschilds, Windsors, Romanoffs, the Astors, Rockefellers, all of the super wealthy. They supposedly mind control people that have particular psychic abilities, and they use these people to conduct satanic rituals on their vast estates, which of course people can't get to. And supposedly these psychics act as conduits to the astral plane, which is the next level of existence above the physical. And supposedly the Illuminati have non-physical counterparts or basically demonic energies, maybe they're alien / demons, I'm not quite sure, that control and possess them. And you might wonder, well, why do they need people to help them with that? And, you know, supposedly the Illuminati, they have mutated genetics, and this is what I've researched, and they can't do this themselves. And you might hear that, you know, let's say that the movie Eyes Wide Shut is an example where Kubrick alluded to this stuff, you know, these rituals that they have, these parties, and they generate sexual and trauma energy through torture and blood sacrifice, and then they funnel that up from the physical world into the astral plane, and then basically this is used as food and energy to literally control and guide physical reality from that level of existence. And I know it sounds elaborate. It's something I've researched forever. And for me, the mind control linked to demonology has to do with these particular rituals because I can't say I've been involved in any assassination stuff. I've got no memories of the, you know, born identity type thing or Manchurian candidate. But tying the mind control to the demonology, you know, I've never consciously had any evil intentions. I've never wanted to hurt people with demons, but somehow I've been drawn to demonic things my whole life. And recently I found out that my family, just about everyone has an ability to enter into altered states of consciousness very easily, and I've been told that that's necessary to be able to connect with the astral plane, and they need people that have an ability to spontaneously channel. And I've also found out that my grandmother was a witch. They call them strega in Italy. And I kept digging into my background and found connections to all sorts of occult stuff that nobody really wanted to talk about. So it's, you know, as I started to research and dig through my family line, I realized I might have a connection to this stuff. Can't say for sure, though.
Yeah,
we
hear a lot about that, you know, where a lot of these abilities are kind of handed down from generation to generation. And kind of moving back a bit, now you mentioned when you were having these demonic experiences, the sexual aspect of it, and then you mentioned it with the, you know, Illuminati. And I was wondering if you could elaborate on this sexual aspect of these demon attacks and what the Illuminati may or may not be doing. Like, I don't understand the energy behind this, you know, the sexual aspect of it. Why is the sexual aspect so important to ritual and to the Illuminati?
It's a good question. And really, it took me a long time to connect the dots because I had disjointed clues, and it was all connected to my behaviors and my things that I was drawn to, proclivities, but nothing really made any sense. They were all separate. How can I describe this, guys? I'm not trying to shock anyone, but everything, you know, as far as my research, it's all about symptoms. And I've compared notes with people here and there, and then I eventually realized it was kind of abnormal. But I do enjoy the taste of blood, and it is arousing for me to be covered in menstrual blood, you know, during sex. And I actually growl, you know, when I'm in a sexual state, and I hiss, and my eyes bug out of my head. It's basically exhibiting the signs of possession whenever I'm in a sexual state. And horror films, they have the same effect as maybe pornography would have on some people. Horror films get me aroused, and it triggers this reaction. And then as soon as the sexual energy starts to flow with me, I get thoughts of blood, demons, Nazis come into it for whatever reason. There's always Nazis. And after doing some more research, I found out that sexual fluids are literally energy and food to demonic entities. I mean, they're also sexual fluids create life, of course, as well. But depending on how you use that raw energy, you know, depends. That's how you get your result. It really depends on where you focus it. But I found out that blood and semen and any sexual fluid creates vortexes or gateways into the physical dimension. And that was definitely corroborated for me because I backtracked and realized that every time I orgasmed and I was in the demon conjuring apartment, everything just intensified. Another thing that I came up with during my research and can be a bit corroborated by my own sexual proclivities, and once again, I don't want to shock anyone, but this is, you know, part of the story, is that anal intercourse during these satanic rituals, it actually creates a pathway for demons to enter the human body, and semen is the dimensional activator. So ejaculation into the anus, it's symbolic. The anus itself, you know, refuse is eliminated through the anus, and that symbolizes demonic energy, which is the opposite of life. And, of course, the opposite is, you know, the vagina. That's where life emerges into the world. So the Illuminati use this symbolism. And then, you know, basically during these rituals with anal sex, the demonic energy can go into the person, up through their anus, and then up their spine. That's your energetic center. And then literally take over the body. And then during the rituals themselves, these demons actually preside over the rituals, you know, with the Illuminati. And then supposedly, when this is done often enough to a particular individual, they become patterned by that energy, and then demons can enter their bodies at will, without a ritual. And it's almost like you're on their frequency, and they can step into your body because it's so familiar to them. And the only thing I can think of is that this had been happening to me for years, and whenever I have stressors present, you know, whenever I get stressed out or everything doesn't go exactly the way I need it to, and I get irritable, I feel things pop into me. My thoughts change drastically. And, of course, alcohol is definitely a factor as well. But it depends. Basically, triggers in my environment, I've traced it back, and my fiance has really observed me and helped me a great deal with understanding what causes this reaction in me and how I can stop it.
So if basically the demons obtain power from sexual energy. I mean, I'm not a very bright individual, so I'm kind of dumbing it down. So it's kind of like you said, with what some people might consider deviant sexual activity, that would be a gateway for these negative entities to enter somebody. And I wonder how that works with people that are sexually abused, if it makes people more susceptible to demonic attack.
I think with sexual abuse, it patterns people to be more accepting of sexual behavior that would be considered deviant or actually assist with the demonic energies to enter their body. So they're actually drawn to the very things that they were traumatized with, and then that becomes the norm for them. But the life fluids are really the things that allow the entities to come into the physical and affect it. I mean, our blood is alive, literally, beautiful substance. And, of course, our body fluids, the semen is used to fertilize the egg and create life. So these particular fluids, the demonic energies use as a doorway into this reality so they can affect the physical. And that's, you know, that's the theory behind it. I mentioned triggering a minute ago, and just so it makes sense if I've thrown that word around, triggering is basically anything that sets mind control programming software into motion, and a trigger will bring an alter or alternate personality, that's the short version of it, to the forefront. And a trigger can be anything, guys. It can be a sound, one specific word, a color, a phrase. It could be a historical event. A musical note, I mean, just about anything, can trigger mind control software into action. And supposedly when people are programmed, and generally it's done when you're a child and you're very susceptible and open to these things, they lace particular triggers into your separate personalities, and they stay there, and someone actually has a book of each programmed slave's triggers, and they can actually, you know, beam it to them electronically. They can, you know, impulse them to watch a particular movie or see the newspaper. And whatever that trigger is will set that particular program into motion and then get that person to act accordingly. I know it sounds far-fetched, but that's it's something I've lived the symptoms of my whole life, and I can't figure out what else, you know, the issue could be.
Yeah, well, I mean, it sounds completely intriguing, and I'm not an expert on any of this. You know, I'm kind of interested in the mind control thing because we hear a lot about it, and there's lots of movies that come out about, like I said, the Manchurian Candidate and stuff like that. It's intriguing. I'm just not an expert on it, and I'm glad to have you on to kind of let the listeners know a little bit more about it, that maybe these things are happening behind the scenes, you know, and we're not aware about it. Yeah, I don't remember a lot of my childhood, and I always thought that was weird, but I don't want to get all paranoid thinking that, you know, I'm subject to some sort of government program.
Yeah. You never know. It makes you wonder. It makes you wonder why, as individuals, we're drawn to specific things. Why, you know, does someone want to go see the World Series, and then other folks could care less about it and are drawn to these particular subjects that other people say, oh, it's ridiculous, but nope, you still... You're drawn to it, and you're curious about it, and what inside the psyche magnetizes these things. I think we're trying to figure out ourselves, you know, based on what we're drawn to. And even with dreaming, if let's say you watch a particular movie and you have a dream about it, who's to say that it's not the movie that created the dream, but yet the dream was waiting to happen, and you magnetize the movie to pull it out of you? If that makes any sense. I mean, there's so many different directions you can go with this stuff. But my theory is just that horror films trigger my sexual ritualistic programming, and I go haywire with them. So I know to avoid them now, if at all possible.
So now with your experience with these negative entities, I don't even like saying the word demon. It freaks me out. But what is their modus operandi by, you know, say somebody summons them or doesn't summon them, what is their purpose? I mean, are they trying to steal somebody's soul, or do they just want to affect people negatively to do bad things? I mean, we always hear about these people going out and committing these heinous crimes and, you know, telling us that their dog told them to do it, or a demon. What are these demons, I mean, what do they want exactly? Is it just to cause havoc?
I think there. I mean, there are so many theories on it. Many of your listeners probably have their own ideas, but I think that these entities are drawn to the physical world because of physical pleasures that we can have: food, sex, drinking. If they were human at one time, they might be drawn to individuals' memories, nostalgia. But when negative energies do, you know, negative, hurtful things in the physical, if they can affect a person or impulse their thoughts, you know, just enough. Let's say a demonic energy, you know, wants to get someone to kill someone, and they can't do it alone, just with impulsing their thoughts. So maybe they impulse the person to cut themselves. When I was a kid, I would cut myself. When the blood came out, it would give them almost a psychic fuel and more of an ability to affect me. And then when the blood present, or let's say they, you know, stimulate someone to have sex or masturbate or whatever, there's semen present, those two things can actually allow the demon to control the body. And then let's say they kill someone. And that kind of behavior creates trauma energy in and of itself. And whenever there's trauma, it creates a pathway for more demonic energies to come into the physical. And I think these beings want to break into this world to have the pleasurable things that they see us having. And that's just my own personal opinion. I'm sure other folks are much more versed in this that might have other ideas on it.
The burning question in my mind is, how do I protect myself? Because, I don't want to be involved with any of this evilness that's out there in this world, or evil entities. Like I said, those sort of things make me exceedingly nervous. I mean, do you have a way, now that things have settled down, that you protect yourself? Now, you mentioned Santa Rita cleansing. That kind of helped. Is there something else that you do that kind of, you know, protects you currently?
All that I do now, Jason, honestly, I mean, I used to do the weirdest things. I would draw little symbols on Post-its and put them in my pajama pockets when I would drink the blackout, hoping that I wouldn't create too much destruction, but allow myself to... I called them little Post-it, amulets protect you from things. So, I mean, as a form of amulet, the thing that's worked for me recently is just writing about my story, not drinking to blackout and going crazy. I mean, I have a focus. I think like attracts like, and I honestly don't expect bad things to happen. I wake up, I write positive affirmations in a notebook every morning. It's going to be a great day. You know, things are going to go well with the radio show. I won't sound like a crazy person. You know, your mind does create, and your thoughts create, and you can literally shape your whole life. And I know that sounds a bit airy-fairy to some people who might have bad luck or what they perceive as bad luck, but whatever's going on in your subconscious truly draws to you what's going to happen in your life. And I think it's important to get your thoughts on your side. And I wish I could say I have some other sort of, you know, technique, but it's really about expecting positive things in your life, and not exposing yourself to these types of things. But horror films, this subject matter, I have to have it around me. I have to interact with it in some way, or I get depressed. I can't just shut it off. And some people have said, just don't deal with that stuff ever again. So I found that writing about my experience is at least a healthier way of interacting with the subject matter, without being destructive and to myself and to the world around me.
Okay,
but
so
I would
have...
say, oh sure,
oh,
sure.
Go ahead.
Oh, just to say, laugh. Keep a sense of humor about it. I laugh. I try to joke about this stuff because, honestly, an old yogic saying is that demons they don't like to be around people who are laughing and are happy. So keep your humor up, and you'll be safe.
So I have to say, I wasn't quite prepared for everything that you talked about, and if I had heard it from somebody else, I would have thought, oh, my gosh. But the way you articulate your stories and the things that you've gone through and your perception of things. You're very well spoken. I mean, I know I said that in the beginning of the show, but I'm just amazed by you, to be honest. If I could ask you a quick question, a two-part question. Number one, if you don't mind telling us, how old are you?
I am 41 years old, and I feel 19 still. So it's just a number, it really is.
Well, you look 19 on the video that I saw, man. And the other thing is, I wouldn't want to run into you in a dark alley. You're pretty buff there, buddy.
Oh, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate that. That's exercising was actually funny you mentioned that. I would hiss and growl, not loudly or theatrically, but very low, but exercise definitely helped me diffuse and disperse the whatever demonic energy was there, but exercise actually would bring up a lot of demonic thoughts, and it was a form of therapy as well. Appreciate it.
I'm wondering also if, from what I read, I must have misunderstood, but I thought all the demon conjuring and all that stuff happened after you started working out and really became obsessed with working out. And also from what I've read on your page is that in order to get bigger like some of the fellow bodybuilders in your gym, you would have to get into the steroids, and then that's when you talked about possible early death, and that's what prompted you into doing research. Is that when that all started, or did it start at an earlier age?
Well, Aaron, I started bodybuilding when I was a teenager, and then I went to one of those gyms where all the guys are taking steroids. I didn't take steroids, but they took a lot of speed pills, ephedrine hydrochloride, to boost their workouts. How can I tie this in? I started the exercise before the demon conjuring, and then also during the demon conjuring. Then I stopped completely until I was about 38, and I left my marriage, and I hadn't worked out in probably 10 years, and my body just came back. So the body you see on the video there, that's that came back. They say muscle has memory, and it definitely came back very quickly.
That's awesome. Well, I know that we have some questions, some folks in our chat room that Jason's going to read off to you, if you don't mind answering the listeners' questions.
Not at all.
Our first question is, how do you feel about Sears, and not the store, not Sears Roebuck, but Sears? Is a Sears like a fortune teller, or like a sees the future kind of thing, right? Yeah.
And see things that we can't.
Yeah, what's your take on psychics and that sort of thing?
Sears pissed me off, guys, and I'll tell you why. Because I can't see a damn thing. No, I admire them because I people say that I have psychic ability and can see that in me. I just see myself, and I wish I could see stuff. I've had some pretty intense experiences that stopped and started, but never as consistent as I would like them. I think Sears are amazing. I think they definitely tap into something. But I would say that whatever the data, whatever the seer is experiencing is definitely influenced by their own individual lens of perception. So whatever's happened in their life, you really have to be careful about interpreting information that comes through someone that's channeling or a seer, because you don't know if that information is going to be tainted by their own personal stuff inside. But, yeah, I'm amazed at people that can do that. I can't.
Okay, and so our second question is, I've got to scroll and find it. It's an interesting question, certainly not one that I'd want to partake within my own home, but the question is, just bump back up. Hold on.
You recommend any books?
Do you know of any books? Do you know which books are needed to create a haunting? So if somebody wants their house to be haunted, well, I don't know why they would.
First, yeah. Change your mind.
Yeah, Aaron's house is haunted, let me tell you.
Oh, man.
Yeah, do you know any good books that if somebody wants a haunted house that they could, conjuring book or whatever?
I think a lot of the results that people get results with this stuff, but they might not perceive them. Or when they expect a certain type of result, like with the Hellraiser movies, some demon didn't pop up, this doesn't work. These things start on a very subtle level. They affect your thoughts, your environment. And if you're not aware or you're not able to tune into the clues, these things can start, you're not aware of them, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, your life is taken over by them, and you don't even realize what happened. I know that's not your question. I would say if you want to get results with this stuff, have a lot of sex, have blood present, get a Ouija board and cover it with blood and semen, and if you're lucky, or not lucky, depending on how you want to look at that, you will eventually get results. I do think it's within somebody's genetic abilities. If you have a natural predisposition for this stuff, you could just whisper out and call a demon to you. And if you don't have a natural disposition, you're going to have to do a lot of that yucky stuff, but you'll get results. The Goetia is what I used, and the Lesser Key of Solomon was something that Aleister Crowley, a famous occultist, used, supposedly found in the Tomb of Solomon, if I'm not mistaken. Use those books and look at those sigils, the symbols on them, and you'll start to generate some result. But if it's meant to be, I mean, I've had people ask me, you know, should I do this? And I said, that's your destiny. I can't judge and I can't recommend anything.
It's funny you mentioned Hellraiser because my little icon in the chat room happens to be Pinhead.
Those movies, man.
Weird coincidence. Actually, maybe you are a seer, see?
No.
Yeah, maybe you have some psychic ability. So we have another question, and the listener wants me to ask you about the Necronomicon.
Ah. I actually had that book along with the other when I was using the Ouija board. Supposedly it's a fictional grimoire or a conjuring book, and I believe it was related to Lovecraft, H.P. Lovecraft. So supposedly it's fictional, but at the same time, I definitely, things happened when I read that. I had a paperback version of it, and I do remember it saying that the book itself will act as an amulet, and talisman is something in magical parlance that draws good things to you. An amulet protects you from things. And it said, keep that book with you, and it will be an amulet. But what I really think happened was just having the book, having the subject matter on my person, made things worse, because on whether it's a fictional book or not, you're vibrating your thoughts towards attracting those types of results. So any type of entity could have heard me or saw me desiring those results on the astral plane, and as a result, it just intensified my experiences. So I would be careful with anything, even if it's fictional.
Yeah, you know, you kind of brought up a good point earlier and just now. You know, it all has to go back to, it's the power of intention. You know, you get what you intend to have. If you put the vibe out there that you want something, it usually comes to you, maybe not in the near future, but I know in my life there's things that I've wanted that seem to be impossible to get, and they just happen to come your way. So that probably holds true as well with, you know, negative things. So I understand what you're saying. Even if the book is fiction, you probably, it has a part in manifesting whatever you want into your own reality.
Absolutely, Jason. And if people want to manifest things in their life, if somebody was mentioning how do you get a haunting, another method, either to draw good or bad things, depending on what you want to create, and this has worked for me hands down, I use it all the time, is if you can focus your thoughts at the moment of orgasm, because it's difficult, because it's pleasurable and you tend to kind of forget, if you want to create something in your life, the moment you orgasm, think that, picture that in your mind, and that will come into your life much faster than just thought alone. I know it sounds a bit fringe, a bit strange and freaky, but if you look at the symbolism, when you orgasm, you're potentially creating life. Try doing that, and you will see things happen. It's freaky.
Now,
I would recommend thinking before you actually start engaging sexually, because you'll be distracted. Write it down ahead of time, and then have a picture or something before you actually orgasm.
So, after having all these experiences, would you go back and dabble in that stuff again?
Not at all. Not at all, guys. I've experienced it. It's steered my entire life. I mean, 20 years later, I'm writing about it, and I'm still, you know, feeling the effects of years of blackouts and drinking a lot. So I wouldn't do it again, but I also wouldn't change it because it was some sort of a to-do list. My soul's, I think every soul comes in with a to-do list and things you have to experience in this life, and hopefully I've ticked all the boxes.
Would you recommend someone doing this? Would you recommend that to someone?
That happened right in the beginning when I started writing. I would have people ask me about it, and I'm not one to recommend or to judge. If someone feels the need to do this stuff, then there's got to be a reason behind it. I would just say approach with caution. But the last thing I would ever do is say you should or shouldn't do these things because I'm not here to try and affect anyone's life trajectory at all.
And the other question I have real quick, and I know this is probably going to open a can of worms with a lot of people, but do you believe in God?
Absolutely, guys. A God force, something that I think connects all the web of creation together, like an energy, a generator of energy, absolutely. I know that's a bit vague, but beyond that, it could be anything. Or I could be completely wrong, but I believe there's something that drives all of us.
Well, you're very passionate about what you believe and your experiences. And is there anything, I don't want you to leave before actually dropping your website so people can go and take a look and read your blogs and learn a little bit more. I think you've covered everything, but I'm sure there's something else that somebody might read that you didn't cover tonight. So maybe you can give that website out so everyone can take a look.
Oh, I appreciate it, guys. It's bloodritualmonarch.com, and there's quite a bit there. I've got a forum that my webmaster is creating that'll come out this weekend. So anyone interested in discussing any of this stuff, it would be a great place to do that. There are movies, pictures, all kinds of stuff on there, and it's just a healthy therapy for me to interact with people. It's not an ego trip. I just found that I'm no longer being destructive because I'm writing and sharing this. So that's I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate you coming on. We're kind of running out of time here, and I'm totally intrigued by your story and your writings on your website, and I know a lot of the listeners have enjoyed it. That's why I said a disclaimer, because I knew we were going to discuss, some things that maybe people aren't agreeable to, aspects of this kind of experience that maybe people don't understand. And, I've learned some new things here, and, I might just do some of my own research on this bodily fluid thing, because to be honest, I haven't heard that aspect of it before, but I find it very intriguing and want to thank you for sharing that. I know that it can't be that easy because it's such a personal experience to you.
I would say always just trust your intuition, folks. Trust your gut. I mean, I think that's the universal truth. It hasn't been easy, but I just know the results I get. I'm much healthier now expressing and sharing, so I'm just going to continue along those lines.
Right on. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up for this segment. Again, thank you, BRM, Blood Ritual Monarch. And I'm sure some of our listeners are going to want to visit your website. And that was www.bloodritualmonarch.com, right?
That is correct. I really appreciate you both having me. It was a pleasure to meet you both, really. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, BRM.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Take care.
All right. Well, that was an awesome interview, and we heard some things that were interesting and certain things that I've never heard before, and it's great to hear some aspects of the paranormal that you don't often hear about, having to deal with sexual assaults and body fluids and mind control. And I think that's something in the future we need to discuss more of, is this mind control. That's something that I've never really talked about. Have you heard much about that, Aaron?
I mean, I've heard about it. I haven't really done a lot of research. The one person that comes to mind is, I'm sure you remember, or somebody remembers hearing about the Amazing Kreskin from back in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, that's another show. A lot to do with mind control and telekinesis and things like that. So,
yeah, it intrigues me. You know, what are those movies? The Manchurian Candidate with Denzel Washington, that was an incredible movie. And that movie tripped me out. I watched it a few times. And if any of that's real on any level, I mean, it's just so wrong. It scares me to think what our government does behind our backs. Because, you know, our government has done a lot of heinous things over, you know, in the 40s and 50s that are just now coming out and being declassified. So you can only imagine what's been going on, you know, in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
Oh, there's so much that we don't know that, I mean, you yourself with, you know, your alien stories and the things that you know about that, there's so much that's been hidden and is continuously hidden from us. And whether we will ever find out, we just don't know.
Well, as long as those Montauk radars don't point in my direction, I'm pretty fine.
Yeah, me too.
And I think the show might actually give me nightmares.
Yeah, probably.
Because I said the D word so many times.
You did. You know, and I'm going to plug a movie real quick. You know, he was BRM was talking about being aroused and things by horror movies. I've been a horror movie fan since I was a kid. And if my sister's listening, she knows exactly what I'm talking about because she has too. And but I just watched a movie recently, and it was her recommendation called The Conjuring. And so if you haven't seen it and you like horror movies, I highly suggest watching that movie. That definitely kept me at the edge of my seat during the entire movie. And it's based on a true story. If you're familiar with Ed and Lorraine Warren, Paranormal Investigators from Amityville Horror, it's all based on them and one of their cases. So I highly recommend watching that if you haven't already.
Yeah, when I was on Beyond the Edge of Reality, we had talked to Andrea Perrin, who was one of the girls that lived in that house, and that was a pretty good movie. I liked the part where they, you know, the whole clapping thing.
Oh, that freaked me out. Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
But it looks like we're running out of time, and we want the listeners. Paranormal Horizons will be back next Tuesday at 7 p.m., and I'm not sure what we have on the map for next week. I think we might be doing another paranormal parody segment where we look at the lighter side of the paranormal world. So I think that we have that next week, but I'm not 100% on that. Hopefully Pat Rice will be back for that show. And again, we want to thank you all for listening to Paranormal Horizons. And check out the Facebook page, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. And give us some likes. We need some likes. And also check out Beyond the Edge of Reality as well on Fridays at 7 p.m., also on Blog Talk Radio. And that's it for Paranormal Horizons this evening. Thank you, Aaron, for helping me out with the show.
Thank you, Jason, for having me. And just a quick shout-out to Evan Jensen from Beyond the Edge of Reality. Thank you for all the times you also had me on your show. Great show. I recommend everyone listening to Beyond the Edge of Reality as well. But thank you again, Jason. I appreciate it.
All right. With that, we are out.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.